And of course, this hour, it's the interactive portion of the show. We will take your phone calls with Dr. Michael Sala as we talk about the Space Force and UFOs and just what's next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Dr. Michael Sala with us. Michael, before we get calls, did you ever expect us to be in this position right now in terms of UFOs and governmental somewhat release of some information?
Well, I have to confess, George, I thought it would happen a lot sooner.
Really?
I really thought that people of goodwill would prevail and have this information come out, but it hasn't. And I think it's only coming out now because there is a tremendous kind of civil war happening behind the scenes, and things are now moving forward, and this information is going to have to come out.
I kept telling Stephen Bassett years ago, Michael, that it's not going to come from the government. It's going to be coming from whistleblowers or people from within, but they're not going to disclose it. So what's happening right now is kind of unusual, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, we've seen so many initiatives that are coming from the public, from the government end of things, and probably the one thing that really is setting a firm timeline on all of this is the National Intelligence Authorization Act for 2021 that gives the intelligence community 180 days to come up with a comprehensive report on the UAP phenomenon. And so there's a kind of like hammer here. 6 months after this legislation passes, and it should pass within the next few weeks, there has to be real effort by the intelligence community to collate all of their information on UAPs and to release it. And I think they will release something that's going to take us to an important step forward. So at the very least, you're going to have professionals, universities, major media taking this subject seriously for the first time.
Let's take some calls. Let's start with Wayne in Chicago to get us going here. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hello, Gio. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Wayno. Thank you.
Yes, Gio. I've been listening to radio since the 1960s. I love radio. I listen to all types of shows, almost all of them. And I still continue to say that Coast to Coast is the best show I've ever heard.
Well, thank you, Wayne. I appreciate that.
Good afternoon, Dr. Sala.
Aloha, Wayne.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question. January 13, 2018, the supposed false alarm over Hawaii. You had said on a previous show that that was not a false alarm, that it was actually the CIA that launched the missile. And I think either the Navy or the Air Force knocked it out. So what I want to know is how much of a threat do you think the CIA still is? Because you said they had an aircraft carrier and a submarine. So I wonder, has the government made those boys behave? And what kind of threat are they? Are they a loose cannon or not?
What do you think, Michael?
Well, it's a really good question, Wayne. I think what we see is that the deep state operates through these false flag events, and I think they are planning a false flag event, a major false flag event. And George, I'll say this now. I think they are planning an asteroid strike. I think that they plan to do this before the election.
How are they going to do that, Michael?
Well, they have space assets, and they have the opportunity right now to launch a weapon from space, a Rods of God weapon, to hit somewhere in the continental United States.
And we'll think it's an asteroid?
And we will think it's an asteroid, because did you know, George, that over 100 observatories are closed right now because of the COVID-19?
Wow.
So that means that there's no independent research astronomers out there looking at the sky. So if the deep state launched a Rods of God attack, then there would be no independent astronomers to contradict them that this was an asteroid strike. And what really kind of like makes me suspect that this is something they've got planned before the election is that in 2017 there was an asteroid impact exercise organized by NASA, FEMA, and the California Emergency Services and the Department of Energy, which contrived or set up a scenario where on September 20, 2020, so we're talking less than a month away, 3 years ago, they planned for an asteroid strike.
God, that's freaky, Michael.
It is. And when you look at what's happening now with all of these observatories shutting down, and just a week ago, you had Arecibo, one of the world's...
The cable snapped and ripped a 100-foot gap in it.
Exactly. Now, was that an accident, or did someone want to put Arecibo out of action?
Well, that's a good question.
So we would be blind to what is coming from space.
Hmm.
And so that really the circumstances have all been set up so that you could have a false flag attack, which is really a rods of gold or some other space weapon that is used to create some kind of catastrophe. And off the coast of California, that was the where this 2017 exercise predicted or based their asteroid impact scenario off the coast of California. And no one would be able to contradict that this was actually an asteroid impact as opposed to a false flag attack.
Interesting take. Let's go to first-time caller Bobo in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hi, Bobo.
Greetings. Yes, I'm Bobo. Greetings, Michael and George. What I have is not to say is not the fact. It's only a hypothetical conjecture. Let's say hypothetically now that an alleged Air Force personnel went into an environment to confiscate certain information or certain information, whether it's UFOs or not, from Navy personnel. Well, suppose it was a ruse and that the patch on the uniform was not truly Air Force related, but something to throw people off. And I listen off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, something we talked about earlier, Michael. Maybe it's not the real deal.
Well, what we do know is that one of the Navy personnel, P.J. Hughes, says that these guys were Air Force personnel, Air Force flight suits, Air Force patches.
Pretending to be Navy.
Oh, no, they weren't pretending to be Navy at all. They were accompanied by a Navy officer, and they were given what were called the flight bricks or the recordings of the 2004 sighting.
Huh, so they were aware of who they were.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this was contrary to standard operating procedure because P.J. Hughes said that this was not supposed to happen, that you could sign the bricks out, but they had to be brought back. His commanding officer, told him just give the bricks to these two gentlemen, and nothing was signed, and he never saw the bricks again, never saw the flight recording data again. So this was two Air Force personnel that took them, and there's another. There's other information. There's someone I've interviewed, Mike Breslow, who says that he actually spoke to someone who was putting together a briefing document for the Air Force for DARPA in terms of the testing of these Air Force craft that were built out of Plant 42 right next to Palmdale, California.
Next up, we go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for accepting
my
call.
Good to hear from you.
And Michael, just a great conversation as always. You know, Michael, you were talking about disclosure with George earlier, and I think it's already happened. And let me explain on that. If you remember during World War II, the military industrial intelligence complex collaborated with Hollywood to release messages and themes through mainstream movies and newsreels, etc. And I think that since World War II, post-World War II, that we've already had disclosure. And a soft disclosure, if you will, through the Hollywood entertainment industry, a disclosure that has plausible deniability. And so if you have abductions and ET communications with civilians, well, you contact Steven Spielberg, and he makes Close Encounters of the Third Kind with Richard Dreyfuss, and has a scientist in that movie that is modeled after Jacques Vallée. Or if you want to analyze and present the idea of disclosure of crash retrievals, well, you have Independence Day, okay, with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum. And notice all the military hardware that was loaned to that movie by the Pentagon. And, of course, it was promoted by President Bill Clinton, you know, as a great movie. Or you have my classic movie is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
The original.
1951.
Yeah.
The original 1951 version. And Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, was not your cheesy drive-in sci-fi movie. It was a very top-shelf movie. Again, notice all the military hardware loaned by the Pentagon for that movie. It employed superstar actors, actresses like Patricia Neal, Michael Rennie. It was produced by superstar director Robert Wise, who later produced Sound of Music and other movies. And I think we already have disclosure. Perception is reality, and the medium is the message. The medium in this case is Hollywood movies, and the message is they're already here. We don't need the president announcing disclosure. All we need is a movie like Day the Earth Stood Still that announces to the audience, to the world, you know, that watches Hollywood movies, perception is reality again, that there is an event, there are ETs, there is, you know, a disclosure. And I was wondering if you would speak about that, Michael, about this soft disclosure with plausible deniability through the Hollywood entertainment industry, just like World War II.
I think you're absolutely right. That soft disclosure has been happening for a long time, since 1951 with Day the Earth Stood Still. And Hollywood has been playing a vital role in helping acclimate people to the existence of extraterrestrial life in the event of a catastrophic disclosure event. I think that's that was something that the Pentagon, the military, were very aware of, that if extraterrestrials suddenly showed up in an unpredicted way, the public would have been prepared through the soft disclosure process. We also have a public disclosure, whistleblowers, we have witnesses, contactees talking about their experiences, so that's been another form of disclosure. But of course, everyone's waiting for official disclosure, official in terms of like Congress or the president saying, you know, this is what's going on. And we are getting closer and closer to that day of some significant official disclosure statement that will make the reality of this phenomenon something that everyone finally has to deal with, as opposed to just a small segment of the population who are kind of like regarded as fringe or tinfoil hat, you know, conspiracy theorists, that then it becomes mainstream. So that's what we're waiting for, an official disclosure. And I don't think we'll have to wait long. I don't think we'll have to wait any longer than 6 months once this National Intelligence Authorization Act is passed and the intelligence community puts together a comprehensive briefing for Congress.
Michael, beyond telling us that we've been visited, will they tell us who's visiting us in terms of what they're like, where they're from, what they want?
I think what is most likely going to happen is that we are going to be given information about advanced technologies that have been developed and maybe they'll leave it as an unknown as to who they belong to, that they'll speculate about Russia or China having them. But I think they will make it possible for a lot of these technologies to be released. I know that there are rumors that President Trump is trying to push to have a lot of the 5,800 national security orders that have been put in place holding back a lot of these patent applications for advanced propulsion or new energy systems or new healing modalities, that all of these have been held back by national security orders put in place by the intelligence community. Well, I think all of that is going to be lifted. It's going to be, and maybe this Intelligence Authorization Act will be the kind of formal means of lifting all of those secrets. And then all of a sudden, I think you're going to have a renaissance in the United States and then in other countries as all of these advanced technologies become available and they're built by American industries.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana, who was almost in the middle of Hurricane Laura. How did things transpire today for you, Corny?
Yeah, George and Dr. Michael. I love that Australian accent, too. I got to say that. Well, George, here in Alexandria, we got about 80 to 90 mile an hour winds. Of course, I know y'all have seen the stuff in Lake Charles.
And oh, yeah.
It's sad. But we've lost power here. They say it may be 3 to 7 days before we
get power. There's at least a half a million to 800,000 people without power out that way.
So we'll be eating Vienna sausages and potted meat and crackers and stuff. And like I said, my military experience, I'm used to eating stuff like that, so I don't have to have, you know, no straight meals or nothing like that. But a lot of people, they're not used to nothing like this. And during the day, it averages 90 to 100 degrees.
Okay.
But at night, it gets around in the 70s. So it's nice at night.
If you can make it to nighttime, it's nice. That's true.
I wanted to say something too, George. All my coast-to-coast friends, I know y'all were calling me. I just wanted to save my cell phone stuff because Tommy and George told me to call back today. But I'm fine and everything. I don't need anything. Me and Dad are making it all right. So just pray for us that we get our power back on and stuff. And that's the main thing. Dr. Michael, my question for you, if you don't mind, sir, because I trained with some Aussies that came over here as military police officers. But have you looked into the fact that the MPs may know something about disclosure and stuff like that? And I'll take my answer off there. God bless you, George and Gina.
Oh, you too. Keep in touch. About 40 seconds, Michael. Go ahead. MPs know anything about these things?
Well, I think military police or in Australia, federal police. I did speak with one Australian federal police officer, and he worked at Pine Gap. And he was just in charge of the outer perimeter. So I think the same probably with military police, that they get to just guard these facilities where all of these top secret projects are happening. And they're not supposed to look in. They're not supposed to see what's going on. But definitely some people in those security positions are aware of some of the stuff that's going on.
All right, Michael, we're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Michael's website, exopolitics.org. We will be right back. Next hour, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with some incredible stories of high strangeness. And our final hour with her, we'll take conversations with Cheryl, of course, and then a little tribute to the late Morgus, who passed away at the age of 90 years old. And we'll be back with final calls with Dr. Michael Sala as well. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Dr. Michael Sala. Michael, how many years have you been at this now? My gosh.
2001 is when I got involved after watching the Disclosure Project press conference.
And you got involved in a big way, didn't you?
Well, I had been researching and teaching international politics since 1989, focusing on international conflict. And so when I heard the press conference that Dr. Greer organized, I realized that a lot of the answers to questions I had about, you know, what's behind international conflict, why it's so intractable, that it needed looking at in terms of this whole exopolitics approach.
All right, let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, we're going to Crystal River, Florida. Alex is with us. Alex, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
I guess, Dr. Sala, when you talk about God rods, you're talking about kinetic rods?
Rods of God, yes. Those tungsten steel telephone pole-sized projectiles that can be launched from orbit, and just with their kinetic force, they have that incredible impact.
That would be used by magnetic, right?
Once they've launched them into space, then just gravity itself will accelerate them to such a speed that they have the force of like an atomic bomb or an asteroid.
Wow.
And the question I was trying to ask, we're all talking about the spaceships, but I want to know about the people who are flying the spaceships. What are we actually doing, and what type of experiments are we doing on them?
Well, what I do know from one of the people that had photographs of some of the craft, he identified them as Air Force Special Operations. That is the covert branch of the Air Force. Those are the operatives, the people who do all of the kind of special forces stuff around the world. But they are the guys that are on the flying triangles, the flying rectangles. And they are now in the process of being transferred over to Space Force. So all of the personnel who previously worked on these projects and were kind of like unfairly treated, because if you're a covert operative, in terms of career advancement, in terms of pay, benefits, you don't do as well as the guys doing kind of like normal a career approach, that they get recognition for what they're doing. But Space Force is going to change all that.
Do you believe that Space Force will be voluntary and people can sign up for it?
Oh, yes, definitely. At the moment, I mean, it is the smallest of the military services, but once you actually have all of the craft being rolled out and then Congress funding the building of space fleets, because, you know, once all of these technologies are released, we're talking about technologies like portable fusion reactors that have enough power that can generate like one terawatt of power, which is the United States' biggest nuclear reactor can generate, I believe it's four gigawatts of power. Well, these portable nuclear fusion reactors can generate 250 times that power.
Jeez.
So once those things are built
in a suitcase,
you can put them into the back of like a carrier, like an aircraft carrier, and there's enough energy there to be able to propel it up if you have like anti-gravity engines that just need a lot of power. Then this fusion reactor can power that to generate this anti-gravity effect. So that would work for any large vehicle, whether we're talking about an aircraft carrier, whether we're talking about new generations of bombers or destroyers that are designed for space travel.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Elisa's with us. Hey, welcome back, Elisa.
Such an interesting show. All right, so I want to know, like, what role, if any, did the Hadron Collider play in any of this? And do you know if the Illuminati have any knowledge or anything to do with this so-called false flag asteroid hit that's been planned?
Well, yes, the Illuminati, the deep state, they are behind all false flag events. And I think this plan for an asteroid strike, I think that is...
I've never heard that one before, Michael.
It's pretty well advanced. As I mentioned, there actually is this documentation out there that mentions September 20, 2020, so under a month away, that this is when the asteroid strike was simulated. And I think this is what the deep state wants, is because if you actually have a simulated asteroid attack off the coast of California, similar to what was described in this asteroid impact exercise that took place in 2017, not only would you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people dead, the 2020 elections would have to be cancelled.
Well, what's their motive for all this? Is that it?
I think that's what's gonna, I think that's why they're doing it, because they know Trump is going to win.
They know COVID didn't work in terms of shutting down the election, so they're going to try something else, you're saying?
I believe so. I think all the internal polling is showing that Trump's going to win easily. And so I think a lot of the Democrats' behavior is indicative of people that know there's not going to be an election.
Now, the public polling shows Biden up by 11 points, although that's going to narrow, of course.
Well, there's a lot of polls, the public polls that are out there that typically don't show Trump doing too well. But the internal polling, this is what Democrats and Republicans rely on for strategizing. Those are the ones that are showing that Trump is doing well with independents and with minorities. And his law and order approach is very, very popular. So the Democrats are going to lose in a landslide unless something like this happens.
Let's go to Justin in Panama City Beach, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hi, Justin.
How's it going?
Okay. Hope you are, too.
Yes, sir.
Great.
I was real interested in the talk. Of course, this conversation about the election is really interesting as well, too. We know that they're going to try everything they can to stop it. But I was actually calling about the extraterrestrials. I've never seen any spaceships personally. There's a lot of reports of them here in this area. But I do hypnosis, and I do past life regressions on with people that want to see their past life.
Sure.
And I'd say at least the last five people that have come to me, they're going back and reliving these abductions.
Is that unusually high for you?
It's more seems like more than usual for sure, and for them to be that consistent. And of course, there's what I've kind of discovered is that there's many different extraterrestrial races. That are kind of dealing with the Earth,
mm-hmm.
some of them that are bad, that are working with this dark cabal that y'all were speaking of, or the deep state.
That could be. Now, these people who feel they've been abducted, is it in this present life or past lives?
This lifetime. I'd say a majority of them, didn't come to me because of the abduction. Now, I've had a couple people that thought that something happened and they wanted to know.
They just didn't know what happened to them.
Correct. And I'm finding that a couple of them were women that weren't able to have children, and they didn't know why. Well, they were abducted when they're, 7, 8 years old. And so I talked about the ones extraterrestrials working with the deep state. And then, of course, we have good ones that if it wasn't for them, that we would have, we probably would have. World that destroyed itself. We have like our protectors. But then in the middle, it seems like is where these abductions are happening. And it's extraterrestrial races that are doing experiments. And they're not really good or bad. They're not killing the people that they're abducting. But they're, experimenting on them and are very curious.
Michael, do you find that to be the case, that these abductions are on the uptick?
Well, I do believe that we've had extraterrestrials fighting a proxy war over humanity for a long, long time. And we're at that point in history where our future is going to be determined what we as a collective decide. That I believe that the extraterrestrials have kind of like taken a back step. They've stepped back a bit to kind of like give us space to decide where we're going to go. And I think this is what we're going to be witnessing over the next few months, exactly how politically we're going to resolve our differences on the planet. And there is that possibility of a extraterrestrial false flag event as well. Will the deep state contrive a fake alien event? So people have been talking about an alien invasion and kind of thinking, well, you know, we're ready for that. But people haven't been really talking about an alien rescue, where the aliens show up and rescue us from all these different problems, you know, whether we're talking about COVID or whether we're talking about asteroid impacts or...
Well, it better happen sooner than later, Michael.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a really kind of interesting period ahead. But, a lot of us are thinking about it. I'm actually, this weekend, on Saturday, I'm going to be doing an event with John D'Souza and Laura Eisenhower on Exopolitics and 2021 predictions. So we're going to be looking at all of these possible scenarios and working out, well, what's likely to happen in 2021? Because I think that's going to be really the year where our future as a species is decided. But I'll have more information on my website for people that are interested.
Interesting times. Are you doing it via Zoom?
I don't know the platform that they're using. It's being organized.
Something like that, though, I'm sure.
Someone who is familiar with another platform, but it'll be online. It'll be a webinar. You can go to my website, and you'll see the banner there for it. And, it's quite reasonably priced, so I hope a lot of people can join us.
Let's go to first-time caller James, somewhere near Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
I want to thank you for taking my call and for doing the things that you do for the American public and, indeed, the public around the world.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I want to leave you with a simple question. What is the most convincing evidence to date that the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrial beings?
That would be for you, Mr. Sala.
Okay, well, that is something that really does need a lot of time to go into, you know, what is the best evidence. There's just so much of it, so many witnesses, so many...
Good witnesses, too, people who, you know, don't have anything to gain.
Exactly. There's just so many hundreds of really credible people have come forward to share what they saw, what they experienced. There have been a lot of documents that have been released, you know, a lot of leaked documents. But now we are having this critical time when this is going to be coming out officially. So while I and many others have been talking about all of the evidence, all of the witnesses and the sightings and all of the documentation, we are going to have something very, very different happening over the next 6 months or so, which is you're going to have official disclosure. You're going to have people being told that this is all very real. And already now, a lot of people, their worldview has been changed just because the New York Times published an article saying that there is a very credible scientist who is briefing members of Congress and Pentagon officials about this out-of-this-world craft that is being reverse-engineered.
That's dramatic. It really is. Do you think it'll come out of this new Pentagon study? It'll be released that way?
I think it'll come more from this intelligence community study that has been authorized by Congress, because the Pentagon study, that's a Pentagon initiative under the Department of the Navy, and they can do whatever they want because they're not answering directly to the American public, whereas Congress is. I mean, the members of Congress have asked for this comprehensive report, and they want it to be a declassified report because that means that they want to be able to tell their constituents that this is what we found out. So to me, that's a really positive sign that we are going to have a genuine official disclosure. Now, how far it goes, how extensive it is, we don't know. We can only guess. But I think it's going to be pretty impressive because the people in Congress have been hearing from Eric Davis and others about these crashed craft that are being studied in corporate facilities and that they are out from out of this world.
All right, Michael, thank you for being on the program. Always appreciate it. Dr. Michael Sala, his website, exopolitics.org. In a moment, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with some incredible stories. And then in our final hour, phone calls with Cheryl.